Thank you for worship, Lord God, that is full and free today. That we can say out of the depths of our hearts, Lord, how grateful we are. Not just that you chose to die, God, but that you chose to get up out of the grave early on this morning, God, with all power in your hand. Thank you. So we ask in this moment, God, that you would speak to us on this day, God, when we have put everything else aside to sacrifice this morning to get here. Say something to us, Lord God, that would change us and transform us. Remind us of the depth of your mercy and your love and your grace. We ask all of it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Let every heart say amen. In the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, I just want to read through one more time to remind us what happened this morning. Starting at the first verse, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. When you've gotten there, say amen. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Some of y'all missed that. They entered in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I want to preach this morning from the topic, Can You Believe It? Can you believe it? Can you believe it is a question that we ask all of us sports enthusiasts, usually on Sunday, particularly if you're a Redskins fan and you have lost again. You just shake your head and say, can you believe it? Sometimes something will happen. Odell Beckham will jump about 30 feet in the air and lean back and catch the ball with one hand. And you jump up out of your chair and say, can you believe this? But I want to ask the question a different way today. And the question is this, can you believe this? Amen. Some things have happened here that for 2,000 years people have been trying not to believe. I'm amazed at the fact that people, when something is right in your face, can't believe what's in front of your face. We believe what we think. We believe what somebody told us. We believe what we want to believe. But when the truth is revealed right in front of our face, plain as day, we can't see it. And we refuse to see the truth. The problem is when you can't see the truth, you miss the truth. Some stuff had happened. They were there Friday. They were there Thursday. They had been there for 3 years with Jesus, listening to him say most of the stuff that I could understand and a little bit that I couldn't. When Jesus started talking about the end and what was about to happen, folks began to become confused. Because sometimes the truth is far past your capacity to understand. And if you can't understand, it's hard to believe. I get it. I get it. You're in my face and you're chasing me down and I'm still defiant because I know that I'm the Son of God, and I tell you that you don't have power over anything. I will tear this temple down and I will rebuild it in 3 days. How about that? I can't, if I'm a Roman soldier, I don't understand it because Jesus is there with no sword and no chariot. If I'm somebody listening, how is he going to do it? The temple took 1,000 years to build. What are you talking about? You're going to tear it down. And what are you talking about that you want to you are going to rebuild it in 3 days? Passover comes. And you show up in this time in Jewish history where you're supposed to be doing something to remember something very specific. When God brought the Hebrew people out of Egypt, yes, opened up the Red Sea and then closed it on Pharaoh's army. We remember this. This is to be a memorial of God's deliverance when you sacrifice an unspotted lamb and put blood on the doorpost, and when God sent the angel of death, it passed over you. And here you come on Passover, Jesus, and say, I am now the Passover. I'm about to go do something and shed my blood. And when I shed my blood, you're not going to have to kill another lamb, another ram, another pigeon. You're not going to have to do another thing. Hard to believe. I don't understand how it can happen, but it happened. Joseph of Arimathea had some money and negotiated with a Roman soldier to get him down off the cross and put him in a borrowed tomb, which we know evidence in fact, facts in evidence, that they sealed and guarded. It happened. We also know that the women who loved him and cared for him were still loving him and caring for him and went early in the morning to do what they didn't have a chance to do the night before, 2 nights before. Yes. They wanted to try and ask somebody, could they just get in to prepare his body the right way? Yes. And what we know is that they went to the tomb. And the sealed tomb with the Roman soldiers sitting on the rock guarding it had been rolled away. Yeah. The facts and evidence are these. When they went in, they found his clothes neatly folded in a box to the left. But the body wasn't there. Facts. In evidence, but we won't believe this thing. The tomb was empty, and as if we needed some reminder, God sent some angels there. Something supernatural. I don't know whether they're men or whether they're angels. They're in shining garments. There's something special about them. My suits look okay, but they don't shine, you know. Brother Nolan, his stuff shines. So you know. who said, in case you don't know what happened, I know you're grieving. I know you don't understand how the tomb gets empty. I get that. But let me just ask you something. Why are you here seeking the living, the dead among the living? How do you come to a place of death seeking folks who are living? Oh, you still don't get it. He is risen. He is risen like he told you that he was going to rise. He's now gotten up out of the grave, and all power is in his hand. You don't have anything to worry about anymore. He's up out of the grave. He got up. So there are a few things in here that suggest why folk don't believe. Just for a couple of minutes. Some folks don't believe because, like the 11, they didn't see it for themselves. You know anybody like that? Amen. My wife tells me I'm like this. Amen. Unless I have seen it with my own two eyes, I can't understand it. It isn't real. It didn't happen. I haven't had a chance with my intellect to process it. But you have to ask the question, why weren't you there to see it? Because you didn't see it, you are also susceptible to believing what somebody else says they saw about it. In another version of this, in another gospel, it says that the Roman soldier was so embarrassed that this had happened when they woke up. You all don't remember this. When you were young, and that first time when you mouthed off to your mother when you had no business. All you can remember is what happened after you woke up. When they woke up, they decided to concoct a lie that somebody had come and stolen the body. How they gonna steal the body and you sitting there guarding it, fool? But when you haven't been there to see it for yourself, you can believe all manner of things about what's going on and what happened. Some people don't believe because they didn't realize what he said. We talked about this earlier. Jesus was saying some really strange stuff. Radical. You are the Son of God. How's that look? I've never seen one of those before. I believe there's something different about you because I've watched you touch people and they've been healed. I've watched people touch you and you weren't even trying to heal anybody and got healed. I've watched you cast demons out of people. Matter of fact, the woman who came to put the oil on you to bury you correctly is somebody who you had cast 7 demons out of. I knew something's different about you, but I didn't realize what you were saying. You're talking about you have the power to lay down your life and take it up again. Nobody's ever done that before. You're going to have to suffer and depart, and you're going to send a comforter. What are you saying? I don't get it. So many people in this world are suffering because they've not heard what Jesus said. We're in church this morning. How can they hear without a preacher? How can people know about a Christ who would hang on a cross because of love for them unless somebody tells them? I don't understand how we can be Easter people who every day wake up in the reality that God died, that sent his only son to die on our behalf so that we could be with God, and won't go and tell a soul. Somewhere between now and the time you get your Easter ham or your Easter goose, you should have told 37 people that he got up out of the grave today. You should tell somebody in the dark night of my life, early on Sunday morning, resurrection happened in me. Otherwise, they won't believe. And then some come in what I call the Peter condition. Let me just park here for a minute. I hesitate, particularly around this church, to talk about gender. But isn't it odd to you that all the people who came to the tomb were women? And isn't it interesting that big, bold, loud-mouthed Peter, soon as the jump off jumps off, the one with all the mouth. Peter who comes strapped to a prayer meeting, Peter. Jesus, I will defend you to the death, whack. I'm taking your ear off, Peter. Peter who had seen Jesus said, Peter, put that away, dude. And wait, pick up an ear and put it back on. When's the last time you saw that happen? Right? Peter, when it comes time to be at the foot of the cross, won't even be identified with him. Denied him 3 times before the cock crowed twice. Peter is nowhere to absent. AWOL, can't find him nowhere. But the women, not only were there, but got up early in the morning in the dark to go do an impossible task because they loved him and they knew him and were going to give him glory even in his death. Part of the Peter problem is that he was a man. I can preach this because I am one. I know I wake up in the morning with a hard head. Reverend Moultrie, you can't tell me much because I'm a man. Even if you're right, I'm not going to let you know you're right till I feel like letting you know you're right. I'm sorry, I may have said too much. But sometimes as a man, when the deal goes down, I find myself in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing because of my own image of who I think I am. Amazed at the number of men who drive wife and children and drop them off in the parking lot on Sunday. Y'all miss this. It's important for you to worship, but I'm a man. Peter problem. Hardest thing to do when you share Christ is to share it with somebody who's got a Y chromosome in their genetic background. In other words, just folk like me. We have attitude issues about who we are, and men in particular want to be king of their own life, and you can't be king of your own life and worship the King of Kings. I said I was gonna park there, I'm now moving, amen. Here's the other thing about Peter. Peter had been disappointed by Jesus. You ever meet anybody who's been disappointed by God? Mm-hmm. The God who promised you never to leave you or forsake you. Mm-hmm. And when your child or your wife or your husband was on their deathbed and you cried out to the Lord, oh God, don't take them, sincere prayer. Mm-hmm. Bring it to Jesus. He cares for you. Lay your burdens before him. He cares for you. And you laid your burden out there bare before him. In tears, on your knees in the middle of the night, as if your life depended on it. And God did not move when or how you thought God should move. and you're disappointed, and you're mad. Some of y'all didn't even take that much. Somebody just told you sang your solo off key. I ain't never coming back to Emery Grove ever again. I ain't never. When you've been disappointed by Jesus, when you think you've been disappointed by Jesus, you want nothing to do with him. You're not going to believe the truth that's in front of you. Peter also, with his big mouth self, was afraid about the future. Because at the end of the day, any man worth his salt is wondering how he's going to get out of the next fight. The one in front of me I had to figure out or I wouldn't still be alive. But I know when I get done this one, I've got another one I got to fight. Some of y'all still haven't gotten this. In Crestmont, where I grew up, you had to worry about what family you got in a fight with. Yeah, so Nate Canada took my bike and wouldn't give it back to me. It was a brand new bike. Look, this is in 1973. I need y'all to know. My father was working 3 jobs and got me a new bike. And I was doing like my mom said, be kind to people. Timmy, can I have a ride? Sure. Come on, Nate, go ahead. Ride. And after about the 4th time around the playground, I was ready to have my bike back. And Nate decided he wasn't giving me my bike back, and he was going on up the road in my bike. And I was about 3 steps to chasing Nate, and then I said, Nate is a brother in a family of 12. None of them graduated from high school. All of them could fight. And in fact, all of them would fight. Do I really like that bike that much? I was thinking about the next fight after the one I was about to have. Peter had the same problem. Watch this. If the Roman soldiers would torture Jesus in public, the one who had all the power that I keep talking about, the one who had all the people around him, the one who had performed all the miracles, if the Roman soldiers could get him and I'm associated with him, guess who they're coming for next? So many people that we meet, right, are afraid for their life. Amen. You've met people like this. They're nervous about everything. Amen. Some of these people manifested in different ways. Some of them manifested in task lists. They've got to get everything done today because they don't know whether they're going to be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. Some of them are this way. Some of them are afraid to talk to you because they're afraid of what you might do to them. You ever walk around somebody who is not open to any communication whatsoever? Just amazing to me. There's some people who are just genuinely brilliant and just up in their head and deal with topics well, but not people. I get that. But I meet Leni, and I'm afraid about what she's going to do to me, so I'm going to stand over here and let her be over there. Some people are running for president. It's Easter. I don't want to do this. But here's the good news. Here's the good news, and I'm going to take my seat. No matter what lie has been told, no matter what the reasons are for my not believing, at some point in time, God's grace is God's grace. Sometimes it gets personal for you in your situation. I'm so thankful that all the grace that God used to get Jesus up out of the grave was not used up on Jesus. Y'all haven't heard me. In 1980, all the grace that God used up on Jesus had not been used up and I got a chance to get some of my own. Doing everything I was big and bad enough to do, and at some point in time, God found me where I was. There's something about Jesus that shows up to reveal his truth to you by the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't need to know anybody else's testimony. You know for your own self that you need Jesus, and you need Jesus alone right now. And at some point in time, he lets you know that the same way he suffered and bled and died, you might have to go through some things. But it's all right to go through some things, because early on Sunday morning, just like he got up out of the grave, you will be able to get up out of the grave. Resurrection is yours. You can be elevated. You can have power. You can do everything that God destined you to do. Believe that. Believe that. As you stand to your feet. So not just because it's Easter. I believe this on Good Friday, and guess what? Monday when I wake up, I'm gonna believe this some too. It's not an idle tale, man. This is the real deal. It's not a joke, it's not optional. It's life, it's life and death now for somebody. You may be a man, big and bad Peter syndrome. I got you, I ain't mad at you. I wish more men were like you. All these sissy five men running around here. Get on my nerves. I wish y'all prayed for your pastor. I'm still trying to get holy, man. You might be like somebody who has been told a lie all your life about Jesus. But what I know for myself, because I saw it for myself, I'm standing in front of you. Ain't never told you a lie. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply, all the way down on the inside, stained, messed up, jacked up, cutting up. Sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, the one who tells the waves to come this far and no further, the one who stepped out on nothing, having never been created, and spoke and everything jumped into existence, that one heard my despairing cry. Have you ever cried out to God? You don't know who else to turn to in your mess. And from the waters, drowning, sinking, messing up on my way to death, thought I, messed up as I was, messed up as I am, thought I was to die for. Some folks have been in such low self-esteem for so long that you think you're worthless. When God's truth shows up, God lets you know that you, just like you are to God, are so worth it that he would send his only son to die for you. My God. From the waters he lifted me. Now safe in my, that's just my testimony. I'm just telling you what happened to me. My admonition to you today is, if you find yourself in any state of disbelief, don't sit in your disbelief and miss the truth. Jesus loves you today. He thinks you are to die for today. And today, he is saying to you, I want to be your Savior and I want to be your Lord. I earned the right on Calvary, because I'm better at running your life than you are. You've tried it, you know it. I am the one who is the Son of God. I am the one who died. I am the one who God got up out of the grave. I'm him. Will you come and be in relationship with me? It doesn't take anything. Brother Steve, it takes nothing. Just that you reach out and accept the gift that God has already given you. Just take it today. Choose to suspend your disbelief and just take it today. Is somebody here today who's never given their life to Christ, who's never been in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you know as I'm speaking to you today that there's a hole in your soul that only God can fill? If you're here, we ask you to come even now. Just leave where you are. Everybody who came to Christ did it in public. Don't worry about that. The person next to you has the same testimony. Are you here today? Maybe there's somebody who has been wandering from church to church trying to find the place where they belong. God sent you to Grove today because he wants you here. And I'm just being selfish today. I would love to be your pastor. Can't wait. I want to add you to my prayer list. I want to show up at the hospital when you're sick. I want to stand in front of you when you get married. I want to pray for your babies. I want to hug you around the neck when I see you. I want to share Jesus' joy with you that comes from way down on the inside. I want to be the one who cares for your soul. If you're here today looking for some place, I welcome you to come to Emory Grove today. Are you here? We'll welcome you.